It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, we're going to have a lot of positive energy. The guys that love to compete and play with passion are going to have a chance at our place.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Man, I'm loving it, man. They're making my job tremendously easy to be out here with these young, talented players, man. I think we have a really good team.
I'm super excited. I'm already loving this fan base, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, new opening. Like that. That way to go, Bobby. Thanks to Mike, everybody who put that together. And we are out of the gate, ready to roll today, back from Canton, Ohio, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And wheels up later in the week. We leave Wednesday with the team to head to Seattle for the first preseason game. I believe that the Raiders play the first preseason game. They go first on Thursday. I'll be on the play-by-play along with Matt Millen and Eric Allen. So excited about that. That is coming up on Thursday. So I got a lot of homework to do. Hope you're watching live on our YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT. We simulcast the video of the show. There's a chat, which we're using too. Everybody who's watching can see I'm putting my board together for the broadcast, trying to memorize a lot of guys' names. Not a lot on Seattle. I'm not going to memorize every guy's name on Seattle because a lot of those guys are going to play and not make the team. But I think a lot of Raiders are competing for jobs and might make the team. And that's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Head on out to PTs to get your pregame on and go have a good time before any sporting event. So I got a lot of stories to tell about the Hall of Fame. I'm going to lead with that next hour. We all know that Eric Allen got a gold jacket. I saw some people there, which was great to see. We'll talk about that and all the other dignitaries and what I saw. I like to tell that story every time I went. I missed the Raiders. Obviously, it was gone where they had that practice game, the simulated game, and there was a serious injury, unfortunately, in that game. And when you play football with pads on, guys are going to get hurt. And what we need now is for the Raiders not to suffer injuries, which is going to be really important going forward here. So we'll dive into that because there's going to be some football coming up here, some important football, and we want the Raiders to be healthy. I was at practice earlier today. It was not open to fans, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm going to wait and see. I have nothing to report, but it was smoky. Due to the fires that are coming in from California, it was smoky, which isn't conducive to outdoor practices. So the practice was indoors today, and I think it would have been moved indoors because of the smoke that was out there, and heavy smoke. When I walked out of there, it was smoky. But the Raiders have a beautiful practice facility where they can go indoors if something like that happens. So when it comes to the simulated game and how that went, and from everything I read from Vinny Bonsignor to the insiders who were there, the Raiders' offense looked good. The Raiders' offense looked very good. And out there today in the drills that I saw over a limited time, I like this offense. I think this offense has the ability to stay on the field. I don't know how explosive they're going to be. I think they're going to be very explosive potentially. But what I'm most thrilled about is that the Raiders offense is going to stay on the field. And by doing that, that means two things. One, A.J. Cole's going to punt less and be more effective. And Max Crosby's going to be out there less and be more effective. And this is a theme that I've been talking about and we'll talk about on the broadcast on Thursday. The best case scenario for the Raiders, because they do not have a lot of depth on defense. They don't. Christian Wilkins is gone. Lonnie Johnson Jr. broke his leg. They don't have a lot of depth. So they're going to need their players to stay healthy, which is a priority. And they're going to have to make sure that those players aren't on the field as often as they have been in the past. That's something nice to predict, but it won't happen until the games start. And we don't want to see this team, which I think is thin on the back end, young and thin. You don't want them to be tested a bunch. You know, I'm not going to talk about the Dallas game and the Chief game. I'm really going to focus on the first three games of the year, which is at New England, Chargers at home, and at Washington. All of those teams have gifted quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is young, but already went to an NFC championship game. He's an MVP candidate from here on out. Justin Herbert's got one of the biggest arms I've ever seen, ever. And he's done damage against the Raiders. And then Drake May, you know, getting him week one. Looks like the Patriots are improved. They got a new coach that's better than the last coach, and they'll be prepared and ready to play. So the Raiders secondary will be tested all year, and they're going to be tested early. And what I think is very important now, because I don't know, we're going to have a conference Zoom tomorrow with Pete Carroll ahead of our trip to Seattle. And a lot of that I have to keep private, what he says, it's not for air. But the depth of this defense is going to be tested. And the defense better be good. And the defense better have playmakers. Today, I was standing next to Vinny Bonsignor, our teammate here, and Darian Porter got beat off the line of scrimmage on a deep route, but he made up for it with the speed. And we said, wow, he got beat. He clearly got beat, but he was able to recover. He's never played an NFL game, and it looks like he's going to be a starter. It looks like he's going to start over Ja'Korian Bennett and the other corners that are there. So he's going to get thrown into the fire, the proverbial fire we talk about with young players. And this is a converted wide receiver. Now, this isn't Mike Haynes coming out of ASU. This is a converted receiver, but they seem to have confidence in him. So I think it's going to be very important for this team to step up and do a big job. Step up and make sure that everybody's rested, ready to play for the start of the season, but they're going to have to play meaningful snaps. So what I want to do today, because I was not at the simulated game, you were, some people were, I want you to call in today and tell me what you saw. What did you like about the atmosphere? Even the players coming through the club section instead of coming out of the tunnel. A lot. I saw the video of that. That looked really cool. Geno looked exceptional in that game. There were a couple of deep balls, even ran in an RPO. Defensively, Lonnie Johnson breaking his leg on a kind of a collision with Max. Man, that's bad news. You don't want to lose a guy with a broken leg in a simulated game. But you got to play football. And for decades, I've been talking about this. There are some knuckleheads out there, and they just sit around in sports bars. They need to cancel the preseason. No, they don't. They have to have a preseason because you have to practice in a game-like atmosphere. And I think Pete Carroll's really good at that. I think Pete Carroll understands that you have to have simulated games. He wants fans out there for the background noise. He wants people involved. But the more and more you run simulated games and guys are going to tackle and at least get a little bit physical, there's a chance that guys are going to get hurt. So Raiders safety Lonnie Johnson, the broken leg that was reported on by a couple of outlets, Jeremy Fowler, first on this one. I didn't have him as a starter, but he was seriously going to be in the rotation. So 6-year veteran carted off the field when he collided with Max Crosby while he was attempting to tackle Raheem Mostert. He was protected as a backup, but has been competing in the rotation for the secondary. During training camp, he received first-team reps whenever the defense had three safeties on the field. Johnson and Isaiah Polamalu would be lined up in the traditional safety spots. Jeremy Chinn played nickel. Now, what I like about this defense and how flexible they are with Jamal Adams, who could come in and play Mike linebacker, this is a team that lost Trayvon Merrigan, Marcus Epps. That was not a weakness of this team. Now, if you want to call it a strength, Merrick had a good year, but he took the money in free agency. Epps was okay. Epps was a decent player for the Raiders. But Jamal Adams now, who's been converted into a weak side linebacker, is in the building as Lonnie Johnson goes down. So we know in a pinch Jamal Adams can play safety. He's more of an up to the line of scrimmage box safety, a tackler, a kind of like a weak side linebacker now. But if you had to leave him out on the field with Isaiah Polamalu and say, hey, we got Jamal Adams out there, he's not great in deep ball coverage, but he's played a lot in this league and he's healthy. So the Raiders are okay there. Would I be surprised if they brought in someone else? No. It's amazing what you could do on the waiver wire. And you'll be able to get some players going forward. But if you went to the simulated game, I want to hear from you today. Okay? I want to hear from you. I want you to jump in 702-365-9200. If you went to that practice or if you've been to practices, we need to get you involved with the show. Okay? Got to get involved with the show. If you went to the game, I wasn't there. You can tell me what you saw. I was in Canton with Eric Allen. I want to know what you thought about that experience. And do you want to see more of it? 702-365-9200 as we get on board here. And we'll get you to, you know, get involved with the show on what you like. Is there anything at practice that you saw from your seat that you were concerned about? Is the offense being ahead of the defense a concern for you? We all agree on that, right? The last year, the defense in training camp at Costa Mesa was way ahead of the offense because the offense wasn't any good. We didn't have a good offense last year. Now the offense seems to be better than the defense at times, and they scored a bunch of touchdowns. And when they do score touchdowns, that means that someone got beat on defense. So does that put up a level of concern for you? As I look at the depth chart of the Raiders in their secondary, not bad, not great. You're not going to hear me say not good. I think they are pretty good. But the defense for the Raiders now, with Sam Webb, DeCamion Richardson, who's going to speak today, Eric Stokes, JT Woods, Ja'Corian Bennett, Darian Porter. I mean, this is a group that is going to be tested. And I think people who listen to me know what I'm talking about. When I think a unit's going to be tested, there's two units that are going to be tested here. The entire secondary and the linebacking core. So for the linebackers, Amari Gaynor, Devin White, Jermaine Pratt, Jalen Smith, Tommy Eichenberg, Alandon Roberts. I think if you have the three best linebackers out there healthy and they're veterans, I think they'll be good. I really do. I think these guys will line up correctly under Patrick Graham and Pete Carroll. The scheme, which is going to be different under Pete Carroll's attention, even though it's Patrick Graham's defense, I think they're going to be in the right place at the right time initially. If the pass rush is not there, this team could be in trouble. Not historic trouble, not desperate trouble, but if you give a quarterback time to set their feet and let a play develop downfield, some of the teams that we're competing against will have an advantage over the Las Vegas Raiders. But if Max gets around the double team, Malcolm Kuntz comes in and plays at a very high level, if Tyree Wilson shows up and plays well, the next thing you know, we could be sitting here going, man, their game records on the defensive line and the secondary and the linebackers are benefiting from that. This team is still getting little to no respect. When I was out in Canton, I talked to a lot of people about the Raiders. A lot. And they're like, what do you think of the team? And I go, the offense is really good. The defense is a work in progress. And the culture, it's a different culture. I'm not saying it's, again, when I say culture, is it better than Antonio Pierce? Antonio Pierce had a good culture. Guys played hard for him. But this is Pete Carroll's culture, which is one of the greatest cultures historically in football, college and pro. It just is. It's different. Anybody who watches this team knows that it's just different. So I'm excited. I'm not excited that the Raiders lost a pretty good player who was competing for snaps in an accidental injury. You have an accidental injury and you have a practice game. These things happen. And it's never going to change in the NFL. You're always going to see guys get hurt because they're competing for their jobs. But I think the Raiders are in a pretty good situation now because they got players they're comfortable with. Also, Tom Brady has been around the team. So Tom Brady coming to practice in the simulated game. People were wondering, what's Brady's role? What's his role? I don't know what his role is. He said it before, he'll say it again. He's the guy that they're going to run ideas by and football ideas by and business ideas by. So it was good to see the minority owner at practice, and he made an appearance at training camp and the game, the mock game. I'm sure a lot of your fans saw him there. He was out on the field. And now that he's become the minority owner, he needs to be here and is here now because he won't be able to be here during the broadcast year because that's part of the rules that the NFL put in place with Brady when he's calling games for Fox. So we're going to see what Pete Carroll thinks about it. We have the Pete Carroll sound. There was a little bit of a scrum after the simulated game, and here's what the head coach had to say.
What was it like to see all the fans out here?
Yeah, it
came off better than I had hoped. To have them so enthusiastic and to make them, they were part of this day. And so hopefully we give a little bit of love back. And we know when this place is crazy filled up, I can't even imagine.
Any initial report on Lonnie Johnson's injury?
Lower leg injury. I don't know all of the details right now, but it's significant.
How kind of fun to see Max Crosby run? Did he run that big?
That was awesome. Yeah. I hope we see a lot of that.
How important was it to go through a game day and everybody going like they would on a normal game day?
I don't know how you guys can appreciate, but there's so many things that we accomplished by having this game. It's not the playing on the field as much as the preparation, the orchestration of it, the routines that the guys have to get into. I wanted to teach them as soon as we could, so this day worked out great.
How was your assessment of the offense's performance today?
There's a lot of points on the board, also.
We've seen a lot of weapons that are emerging in this training camp. You know, a lot of balls get thrown to a lot of different. That kind of by the design. And how impressed are you with the weapons?
We do have guys to go to, guys that have really unique talents, special talents. Chip is well aware. You can see it. He already gets it. All throughout all of our camp, we've been utilizing our guys to do things that they're good at. And Ashton has answered all the calls, which is a beautiful thing. Dante Thornton has done a beautiful job as well. We're off and running. I thought Jack had a good day again today, too.
Pick up, Chip. How much
community, the stadium, how beautiful it is. Talk about the opportunity you have for this community.
Well, we just get warmed up. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of stuff to do, but we need to do it together. We need them to be here like this to create this kind of atmosphere. We got to play up to it as well. So we got to all work together.
Thinking of Chip Kelly, how he's on this offense, how much are you in love with the way that he's able to use the tight ends like Mayer, Rob?
No, I really like what we're doing. The fact that we're able to, every time you come to practice, you see those guys showcase. And it's because that they have talents. And he's got it mixed in, and Gino gets it. He knows those guys. We've come a long way in that regard so far.
Tom Brady's out there on the field. What does that do for the team to see a guy like Tom Brady out there?
Well, it's hard to describe, honestly. He was with us and met with us a little bit yesterday. And just to see the look in the guy's eyes, you know, and his ability to capture them as well. He's a great asset to us, and I can't say enough about that.
All right, that's Pete Carroll right after the simulated game and the practice there at Allegiant Stadium. Show started 18 minutes ago. Did anybody go to that practice? Let's start hearing from you. 702-365-9200. Were you impressed with what you've seen? You are the fans of Raider Nation. You know the team. You are the fans who blank and moan when the team doesn't look good and get euphoric when they're playing well. I think a lot of Raider fans are optimistic with the offense, led by Geno Smith. It looks like Geno had a really good practice game, simulated, from Canton. And as you look at what happened throughout the course of the game and the practice, when Geno has time in the pocket, he made his progressions, made good throws, the RPO run. What do you think of the other quarterbacks that the Raiders have at this point? Do you think that the quarterbacks are going to be in a pretty good position for the Raiders, especially Cam Miller, if he gets thrown in? So it's a time of optimism right now. And we're going to take advantage of that. We're going to take advantage of the optimism. If a player gets hurt, we're going to say, we hope you come back healthy and you come back soon. If a player gets injured, it's like football. It's a business. You move on. The player goes into rehab, tries to get healthy again and come back. It's next man up. And we're in that next man up already. And then the other thing I want to dive into is it really looks like Jackson Powers Johnson will not be the starting center for this team. It's starting to look like he's not going to be the starting center, and it's going to be Jordan Meredith. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know of anything. I'm not hearing anything different from within inside the organization. They're going to play the best players who are available. I'm a Jackson Powers Johnson guy in regards to what he can become. What he can become is a Pro Bowl center in this league. And if he can become that, great. But if he doesn't play center, he's not going to become a Pro Bowl center. So I don't think it's a political thing with Jordan Meredith. I just think they're trying to find the best five. And will Jackson Powers Johnson make the cut, even to be the best five with Alex Kappa, who's got a lot more experience playing right guard than JPJ? Same thing with Ja'Corian Bennett. Is Ja'Corian Bennett going to play? Is he going to play with the threes or the twos? Is he good enough to make it with the ones? I don't know. But he definitely isn't out there with the ones traditionally there. It reminds you that John Spytek and Pete Carroll will play the best players who earn their position. Raider Nation Drinking Club, Thor, joins us. Thanks, Thor. I've seen you've been on the road in L.A. and traveling around. How are you, my brother?
Oh, man. I'm finally starting to recover from a two-day hangover. Started out at the Legion Stadium on Saturday. But, JT, man, honestly, I was really impressed with Thornton. That's a big, tall, athletic dude right there. Like, I was whoa when I saw him. So, Gino looked really good to me. Obviously, he's going to need to have time. It's a simulated practice, all that. The injuries are going to happen. They're horrible, and let's hope whoever gets hurt is able to come back and be healthy and be able to play good and strong again. But I felt the team, to me, the presence of the team felt really solid. Like, they felt like a team. They felt like they had a direction. They felt like everything. I was impressed with almost pretty much everything I saw from the team out there. I'm really, really upset at the fans, though. To me, the fans were horrible. Horrible, horrible. I heard some people say it was kind of loud. It was crickets where I was at. We're screaming, Raiders, we're fired up, we're out here. It was crickets around us. So I need the fans to get informed. If you Raider Nation, get out there, get loud, be proud, let's go. I know we haven't won like that in a while, so with the competition Pete thing, like, yes, get the best players in there, because the people who have been in there haven't been doing good enough. If we want to win games, so yes, let's go get the best players out there. I love JPJ, and you know what? Maybe Jordan Meredith is just a better center. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully JPJ becomes an All-Pro tackle. I don't know, but get the best player out there. We love you, JPJ, but if you're not going to be center, then. Maybe you don't deserve it, or you need to go work on something to get back to that. I love it. I love the way it's going. I'm really happy about the team, JT, okay. And I'm fired up for the season.
Thanks,
Thor. Let's go, Raiders.
Thanks, Thor. And again, I'm not going to judge fans at a simulated practice on how loud they were. I wasn't there, but Thor wants it loud. He wants it loud all the time, especially when we're in our home building. And it's kind of a weird atmosphere because it's a controlled scrimmage against your old team. So it's not going to be something that you can compare to real fans coming in there or fans going up against another team in a real game that counts. But I get what you're saying. Gangsta Raider joins us next here as we kick off the show. Go ahead. What's happening?
What's up, JT? Congratulations to you and Eric Allen on the Hall of Fame induction this weekend. Y'all was looking excellent. You know what I'm saying? And I want to say, as far as the game went, I think the game went well. I hate the injury to Lonnie, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as far as the team, like Thor said, the team looked really together, especially for it to be so early in the season, you know what I mean? And also what I liked was the way the seemed like both sides of the ball worked efficiently together. And also, even Aiden O'Connell looked good to me. You know, yeah. I call him Ace. Ace looked real good to me, so I'm very happy with the way the team. I wasn't there, but one of my buddies was there. He kept live streaming everything, so I got to see a lot of the stuff that was there because he was sending it straight to me. But I was really focused on the Hall of Fame, and I like how Eric Allen, he really represented for the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? And he held you up too. You know what I'm saying? I remember that time I met him. I met you and him. I think the first time I met you was at the Raider Tavern and Grill, and you was with him. And I remember when I told him my name, Gangsta Raider, he smiled and he was like, Gangsta Raider, I like that name. And he was real cool and down to earth. So shake his head for me and tell him congratulations, yes, from Gangsta Raider. Keep it gangsta, y'all. I'm gone.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great – I'm going to lead with Eric at the top of the hour with the recap of the Hall of Fame. It was truly a beautiful event. It was fantastic. Humbly to get a shout-out from Eric during his speech. I mean, for my dad to be seeing that, my dad to text me and – like to get a shout out from him with my son and wife there, it was nice. And then to MC his party was a high honor. It's nice. Those are the memories I'm going to take with me the rest of my life. The opportunities I've had with this team. And they've been plentiful. With that one goes near the top. there was that much cool stuff going on. And the Hall of Fame, it was nice. It was small. It was intimate. I mean, the crowds weren't massive just because it was a smaller class. You know, I don't want to say it didn't have star power because all these guys are Hall of Famers. But it's a difference. You get a guy like Drew Brees or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady getting in, that could add 15,000, 20,000 people just at the stadium. 20,000 people if you have a quarterback getting in. And this, we didn't have a quarterback get in. And the quarterbacks moved the needle there, but the quarterbacks are coming. Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Rivers sat right next to us. Man, you forget how big of a boy he is. And, oh, that fake Charger fan. You know that girl who's the fake Charger fan? She put on the Viking costume and the Charger costume. She was sitting right behind me, and my son was like, "Dad, go get a picture with her, man. Come on, man. Go get a picture with her." I'm like, I am not taking – most Charger fans aren't real. I wasn't going to take a picture with the imposter. But she was there, too. It was just cool. You know, we had a nice time, and the flights were on time. I've been getting beat on travel a lot. And the flights were on time, which was cool. It was just good. It was really good. Hey, I want to open up the show by welcoming again Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. They are back with us for football season. It's the old Hard Rock. It's been Virgin for a while now. Great place to stay. They have so much going on there. They are trying hard to get you there if you're a local. From what the changes they're making inside to the dining. I'm always talking about One Steakhouse with my boy J.O.D., and all the other restaurants that they have there, the activations they have outdoors, and the concert schedule is really looking good coming up here over the month of August if you want to go see some shows in the old joint, which is called the theater, which is a lot of fun there. It's just me today. I didn't pack us up with guests. I wanted to tell stories with people who went to the Hall of Fame and people who went to the game, to the practice game. We got a real practice game, a preseason game on Thursday. I got to put my head down and do a lot of homework before that and save my voice. So hoping to hear from you today. And it's a good day to recap the Hall of Fame and congratulate Eric Allen. Because every time you congratulated him before this, he wasn't a Hall of Famer. You were saying, hey, congratulations, you're in the Hall of Fame. No. He wasn't in the Hall of Fame. He was about to get inducted. Now you could be the first callers to congratulate EA as he's in the Hall of Fame for the rest of his life. Number 379. Every Hall of Famer has a number. And he's 379. And it was great. I got a good picture that I put out of his jacket and everything out. So we're excited to celebrate Eric Allen today and get you going for the week. It's going to be a short week for me because we got today and tomorrow's show. Wednesday, Vince Sapienda for me as we travel. Thursday, we have the game. And then we're back on Friday. 702-365-9200. Brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. Modelo, proud partner of the show.
Wait and see. You know, I mean, I could be really optimistic and say, hey, this sure is going to be great. But they got to get through the hitting and the rigors of camp and playing against guys that are older and bigger and stronger than they've been, you know, in the past. However, you know, I've always been in favor of playing young guys. I've been playing freshmen and rookies for a long time. And I believe if you do it well and you plot out and plan how you play them and what you expect them to, you know, to be asked to do, then if you do it well, then they can contribute early. And they can contribute by midseason. You have guys that are playing the game. And now you have your depth chart has changed. Your opportunity to rest guys and mix your rotations can get accelerated. I'm not afraid to play the young guys. And I've, you know, I really documented that a long time ago. And so that they're on. They better be ready. They got to go. We're putting them in there.
Pete Carroll will play young players, period. He will tell other players, you're not going to start in this practice. Someone else is. Get used to it. There's no crying in football. Your favorite guy might not start. Too bad. That's the way this works. It's tough. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And that's what's happening. JT, brought to you by the Castaverde Law Group. I was texting Alex de Castaverde. He got in touch with me from the Hall of Fame. He liked what they were talking about with Eric Allen. So if you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999. We talk sports on the show, not just Raiders. And the breaking news today, San Antonio Spurs star De'Aaron Fox has agreed to a four-year, $229 million max contract extension with the Spurs. Rich Paul did the deal. The max deal secures Fox's future in San Antonio through 2029-2030. He is making more money than Luka. I like this player. I like this player. He's nowhere near as good as Jalen Brunson. Nowhere near as good as Jalen Brunson, who took a lot less. This league is completely messed up and nuts. If you believe that De'Aaron Fox is worth $229 million over 4 years, you have lost your focus. You have lost your direction in life. This is one of the most outlandish contracts I have ever seen. The guy was in Sacramento, a good player. He was playing in Sacramento, an outpost. Sorry, Sacramento, you're an outpost. You're not L.A. And now he goes to San Antonio, and he's making more money than any Spur who's ever lived, including Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker. This is insanity. Insanity, what's happening in sports. Fox is going to make $229 over 4 years. $229 over 10 years, we could have a conversation. Oh, my God. And they're going to take the money from you. They're going to take the money from you. You wonder why beer's $20, $25 at a game. You wonder why it's $100 to park. I mean, are you kidding me? Look, the world has not changed that much since Isaiah Thomas played, Magic Johnson played, Tony Parker played. I mean, I could see it's changed dramatically since Bob Cousy. Yes. $229 million for an NBA guy who has barely played in a game that's ever mattered, and he's getting this much money. Oh, I mean, come on. Please agree with me on this. Don't be a zombie and say, well, he got what he could get, JT. Well, that's what the market is, JT. No, it's despicable. It's outlandish. It's crazy. Come on. Also, if you went to the simulated practice that was a simulated game, let me know what you thought of it. Under rules, referees, running the plays, contact. Did you like the atmosphere of the Raiders? Was anybody in the club section when the players came out? They want to have it like the Cowboys where they come out through the club. If you were there, I'm sure someone listening went. Did you like that? Did that make sense to you? 702-365-9200. Our featured alumni, and I'd like more participation with this because I don't quit. I'm not going to shut it down, but we'd like more participation today, is Henry Lawrence. Henry Lawrence, killer, his nickname, the legendary offensive tackle for the Raiders who won three Super Bowls, a two-time Pro Bowler. Henry Lawrence is our alumni for today who was drafted by the Raiders, most influential Raider draft picks of all time. He played for the Oakland LA Raiders from 74 through 80, one of the few all-time Raiders to win all three Super Bowls of the Raiders. I was just on the Raider cruise with him. He is a featured singer. He's sung before at the games, at the Torch. He's unbelievable at karaoke. I mean, one of the best I've ever seen. Plus, he has his own songs. He was drafted in 1974 in the first round, the 19th pick overall. He played in the Super Bowl and played in Super Bowl 11, was a starter in Super Bowl 15 and Super Bowl 18 for the Raiders, earning those three rings. And he's just one of the best guys I know. He's just an overall good guy. He is a throwback to the great years of the Raiders. And in theory, he could be a Hall of Famer. A lot of guys got lost in the shuffle because of the left side was Art Shell and Gene Upshaw. Highway 63, two of the all-time greats. Jim Otto's in the Hall of Fame. He played with Jim Otto, Henry Lawrence. So you got Otto, Art Shell, and the great Gene Upshaw in the Hall of Fame. I was able to spend some time with Gene Upshaw's widow at the Hall of Fame in Canton. But the right side had some really good players in John Vella and Henry Lawrence, George Buehler, good players overall who aren't in the Hall of Fame. For those who wonder who's been forgotten by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I nominate Henry Lawrence, a three-time Super Bowl champ who is a very good player for the Raiders and nasty as hell and nice off the field. His nickname's Killer. His hands are the size of a tennis racket face. That's the size of his hands. I've gotten to know him so well over the years. I consider him a dear friend. He's one of the he's one of the alumni I'm most attached to who are still with us. And I just wanted to mention him today. So if you got a Henry Lawrence story, let us know. 702-365-9200. So the Raiders had a couple of players meet the media today. And one of them is a very interesting player who I think is having a pretty good camp from everything I'm hearing, and he's going to have to, is Dekameron Richardson. D-Cam met the media a short time ago.
System before with PG, but being back with the Raiders, what's sort of been the focus for you coming into your second year with the franchise?
I'll say just being a contributor on and off the field, you know, being that vet in that room, that vet presence, you know, showing the guys before me, after me, how to have a discipline routine, and no matter what the day brings, to stay disciplined in who you are and what you bring to the table, for sure.
You see you moving outside, playing nickelback. Where do you kind of feel like you're best suited in terms of your skill set?
I feel like I could bring value all over, you know, from special teams to nickel to outside corner, you know, so wherever that day brings, you know, I'm ready for the opportunity. At the end of the day, I'm not a guy who's going to just box myself in. In this NFL league, you can't box yourself in, because right when you box yourself in, they'll let you lean on that label, you know. So I'm just a guy who's ready just to take on all roles and being that provider on this team for sure.
How tough was it for your room to see Lonnie go down the other day?
It's always tough to see one of your fellow teammates go down. You know, at the end of the day, we know that it's something that's going to make him stronger. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to go out there and showcase what type of defense we was with him. And at the end of the day, he's always on our minds. And each and every day, we make sure we reach out to him.
In what ways have you seen this defense change a bit now that Pete's come to town and he and PG kind of seem like they're kind of melding things together?
Yeah, I would just say just the core principles we lean upon. You know, at the end of the day, we all about effort. We all about the ball. And if you can lean upon those two things, you know, at the end of the day, you should have more wins than losses.
Because looking around, how good do you think this defense can be? And where do you have to kind of elevate your game as a unit to be as good as you can be?
Yeah, I feel like there's no limit to it. You know, at the end of the day, I can't give you no generic answer. You know, we haven't played one snap of real football just yet, you know. So at the end of the day, we got high expectations for ourselves, and we've seen the reports out there on us, so we know what we got to do to go out there and showcase that we not those reports. But at the end of the day, we are worried about what's going on inside house, and we're going to continue to contribute in all aspects in our game.
Good. Thank you.
All right, there it is, a real short session for D-Cam, as we like to say, and Dekameron Richardson is going to have to play well this year. He's going to have to play really big. He is going to play. Today I saw him back there on punt drills and special teams. He has got to step up and play, because when it comes to cornerback, Eric Stokes, D-Cam, J.T. Woods is coming on strong, Ja'Corian Bennett, it looks like Darian Porter is clearly going to be involved in the process as possibly a starter, and we'll go from there. I was going to call Raider Man today. I owe him a phone call. I'm happy I'm able to get him on the radio coming off the Hall of Fame. He knows Eric Allen well and has always supported the Green Eye Bandit. Raider Man, jump in. Good to talk to you. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, JT? I appreciate that, man. That's great to hear, too. I appreciate you throwing that in there. Hey, D, man, God is good. God is good. You know I'm undaunted. I'm about as hard-headed as they come. There's nowhere in the world I'm not going to do my best to fight through everything that I'm doing to make sure I pause and pay homage to the Green Eye Bandit, man. The first EA, the first, you know, EA Deuce One, man. That brother deserves all the credit in the world, too, because, and I want to shout out to you, too, because, I mean, to be included in the way that you are, all the time served in this deal, you know what I mean? I got to salute. You know, I got to salute. I like to think that I'm helping. Mm-hmm. But
you are helping. Hey, let me say that. Let me say, you've always helped. You've always been here. You've always been a part of this show. You will always be a big part of this show. You're the original Black Hole members that I met. Your role will always be fluid on this show. Rest assured.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. You know, sometimes you need that. You know, you got to push through the mental. So that's what I'm doing my best to grow through it all. But you know what I mean? 19 years. You know, you're not going to really hear nobody else personify that, but think about that. 19 years. Imagine waiting out something for 19 days, JT. You know how I can get. 19 years with ultimate grace and dignity, man. Congratulations. Double salute to EA. You deserve it, brother. You deserve it on every single level, man. And God bless it. It was fun watching him in, and when he was in that green. It was fun watching him everywhere he went. But when he came into that silver and black, I knew he was on task to line up next to the C Wood and grow him through his fire to know, you know, some of the stuff that they had to grow through and in the midst of coming to this culmination. Watch C Wood grow through. Watch C Wood be up there to salute the captain when he get his time to come in. Man, that was a beautiful, beautiful induction to me. It's so much layered, JT, and I gotta appreciate each and every layer of it like a real wedding cake. I'm gonna put some of it in the freezer and enjoy another piece of it next year. I'm doing something. In the spirit of the Raider Oath, because every single year, man, this passion will be renewed. I'm firing up a campaign, and I need your help with it. Well, I want your help in the biggest ways, because I'm doing I Am a Raider Fan Challenge, and I'm challenging each and every Raider fan. I heard my brother Thor out there doing his best to cattle prod our fan base, and I get it. You know what I'm saying? This is the practice season. We're not really supposed to be overzealous yet, but those that are need a safe space so we can be who we are. And I understand it, man. And I'm going to be out there reaching out to each and every person on the streets, in the balconies, in the towers. I don't care if you're in the casinos, in the hotel. Wake up and get your Raider going, because it's time to get this thing on fire. Man, JT, I am a Raider fan. I'm going to be looking for your video. I'm going to be looking for Raider videos from your wife, from your sons. I'm going to be looking for videos from your youngest speaking child, because I want to know from each and every Raider fan, from the oldest to the youngest, no matter how wide you are, where's your heart? It's time to step it up. Everybody's in line. Everybody doing what they're supposed to do. We used to be the teeth of this organization. You heard me being the moaning about it for years, even in the times when I was out of place. But damn it, you know how we get. And it's time to get there. So I'm with you, JT. You already know what it is with me, man. I'm doing my best to push through this thing. I'm looking forward to the conversation because we got a lot to talk about. I got so many irons in the fire. But I got to give a special shout-out to Lunch Lincoln because he did the first promo for me with the I Am a Raider Fan Challenge. Lunch Believe, shout-out to you, King. And shout-out to Kirk Morrison with his opportunity in the booth. Man, I'm happy for everybody, Raider Nation, right now. It's hard not to be on fire, so go ahead and get yours lit. I'm going to see you when I'm looking at you, JT. One love, baby. And I'm appreciate you on everything, Doc.
You got it. Raider Man checking in. Big part of the show. Big part of the history of the show. We are the show of record, the longest tenured Raider show ever. Ever. And it won't be surpassed, I can promise you. Because if you started now, good luck getting past 28 years. And we're happy. And all the old school guys that call in, gals, and brand new people. The key is, as you know, he just said it, Raider Man, if you're a Raider fan, you've got to be more vocal in Vegas. I haven't shared much of this because I am not a Twitter police guy. I'm not an airport police guy. I cannot hold your hand and walk you through that building. You've got to get there on your own. You've got to show up more. You got to be louder. You got to stop selling your tickets to the opposing fans. You got a team here that's ready to break out finally. And look, we've said in years past this was going to be the year. Maybe next year's the year. We all seem to understand that this time it's different. The other times we wanted to be different. It wasn't different, but the people tried to make it different. This is different. And we need Raider Nation to step up even more. You've already stepped up. You're a Raider fan. You got to step up more. I do. Everybody has to do to be louder and prouder and get this done. Top of the hour, I'm going to recap Canton, what we did in Canton. We got Mike Florio. How about that? Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk at the bottom of next hour. Good to be back from Canton in the chair again on Raider Nation Radio.
But I stayed and I finished. I dealt with the obstacles. Coach Jim Williams came in from Tampa University, made the familiar Blake High School, and he saw me play two or three plays, and he stopped me. He said, I want you to play offensive tackle. I was a defensive man, All-American. You know, I want to get to the quarterback. You know, I want to throw that joke across the field. yo, man, I don't want to play no offensive tackle, man. Offensive tackles can't. He said, look, I need an offensive tackle. And I'm standing there. He said, well, they say that you couldn't do it. And so you didn't have any heart. And you were standing. So all of a sudden, I find myself standing up on my toes. I said, coach, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I went on the field on the third team. And I kept doing it. And I kept doing it.
Henry Lawrence, turn it up. What a great Raider he was. Most influential Raider draft picks of all time. That's part of our summer radio. And we're in summer. We're still sitting here in summer, man, before the season kicks in. And then it is, we talk balls, right? We sports balls, baseball balls. Then it'll be balls to the wall. Mike in Staten, Italy. Mikey, what's happening, man? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, JT, I couldn't be more proud of you and Eric Allen. What a great ceremony I was able to watch. Just a beautiful person with a loving family. He is the true essence of once a Raider, always a Raider. Just very proud of you. I'm seeing it, JT. Honored to call you a friend. It was. It looked like it was an unbelievable time. I hope you were able to find yourself a great steak out there.
I did. I went to Bender's. We had a nice split steak with the wife and some good salads and the fresh corn and everything that you have out there in the Midwest. But, Mikey, I thought I'd land and wake up this morning and Aaron Boone would be fired. What the hell is going on? A three-game sweep by the Marlins? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but and Jeter turned on him. So why is Don Mattingly not in as the Yankee manager today? Or bring back Girardi out of the booth? But, JT, the reason I called you on Raider Nation is, do we have the cap space to work a deal out to get Micah Parsons? If you're telling me we have a 2-3-year window with this coach and with this staff, can we work out a deal? Because, obviously, Max Crosby's healthy after watching that pick six. If we could get Micah on the other side and those defensive backs, I'm not there. You're there watching them. And Pete Carroll says it's as good as the Legion of Boom. JT, we could compete with anybody if we could have both forces on opposite sides. Is there cap space?
Yeah, the Raiders could get a deal done with Micah Parsons. I don't think they will. You'd have to pay him more than Max Crosby for the same position, even though he'd come on the other side. They have Malcolm Kuntz. Malcolm Kuntz is nowhere near the player that Micah Parsons is. That's a real luxury. I'd rather see the Raiders. You know, Jalen Ramsey was a player that's available in a bigger need situation. Micah Parsons is a great player. I just don't think the Raiders need two luxury items, highest paid defensive ends of all time. I could be wrong. If they sign him, I'll go pick him up at the airport. But I doubt they're going to do that. And I don't think Jerry Jones is going to let him get away. Thanks to the bricklayers, everybody who's been there. At the top of the hour, I'm going to recap my trip to Canton, Ohio, a couple of nuggets, a couple of stories from being there for Eric Allen. And we'll go from there. And then Mike Florio at the bottom of the hour. That's always a big interview I do 2 or 3 times a year with Mike. Stick around. Hour number 2, brought to you by the M Resort, Spahn Casino.